Ramsey TV.
Well, I appreciated all your comments yesterday about leading a mild and quiet life. They were very entertaining. You're all very honest. And we all have various degrees of success with this. I failed absolutely miserably yesterday. And I especially appreciated the comment of Cindy, who apparently knows me well. She said, "You live a mild and quiet life?" I could almost hear her kind of laughing at the end, like, "Okay, I'd like to see a report." Well, here's the report, Cindy, and to the rest of you in the body of Christ, I will give you a full report how I failed at the first test. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. But I'm going to give all of you comfort, all of you failers out there. I'm going to give you comfort about your failures, about your inability to live up to, really, it's the ideal. Paul is laying out the ideal. And so, but I have a verse for you in Romans 12 about what to do when you can't live up to the ideal. This is going to be a great comfort to you after your failures yesterday. Maybe I shouldn't assume that you failed yesterday, so I'll just speak for myself. Folks, it was... So I was out on my run, and we have a heat wave in Florida. I mean, Florida is hot enough, and it's August. So imagine a heat wave in South Florida. So the temperature was 86 degrees. Humidity was 75%. The heat index was 96 degrees. And I'm out there running 8 miles, and I'm just getting blasted, you know. And, I'm running so slowly that a woman pushing a baby in a snow, a large woman pushing an orangutan, no wait, a female sumo wrestler with two broken legs pushing an orangutan with an inflamed liver in a stroller with square wheels into a headwind would have passed me. That's how slow I was. And so I was a little irritated already. Then I see Pumpy Pumperton. I nicknamed this guy. There's a guy that walks. He's doing these arm pump thing like this, but he's walking slower than me. He's walking slower than I run. I mean, he's got his arms going like this, as if his arms are, and especially his left arm goes up like this, like an oil well, like those oil wells you see in Oklahoma and Texas. And I'm thinking to myself, see, I would never say any of these things to these people if I met them personally. If I actually talked to Pumpy Pumperton, I would never ridicule him. I would speak kindly to him. But under my breath, I'm thinking, Pumpy, tie that left arm down. Tie your left arm to your torso with a stout rope and see if you go any slower. You won't, because your left arm is not helping your pace at all. Your left arm is doing nothing to propel you forward, sir. And then I thought, oh, then it hit me, because I just made this show like 3 hours before. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to love Pumpy. No, I'm supposed to make petitions, prayers, and pleadings for Pumpy. Petitions for Pumpy, prayers for Pumpy, and pleadings for Pumpy. I'm supposed to petition God on his behalf. God, please help this man see that pumping his arm like an oil derrick is doing nothing, contributing nothing to his forward motion. I'm to pray for him that somehow he doesn't throw his arm out of the socket like this. And then I'm supposed to plead with God. Please, God, help this man. Give him an education concerning forward motion and the dynamics of the human body and the most efficient ways to move forward. Talking forward motion. So prayers, petitions, and pleadings for Pumpy. Coming your way, Pumpy. Coming your way. God help me. I can do it. Supposed to love Pumpy. So I said to myself, I love you, Pumpy. It wasn't working. I don't even know this guy. Just as I'm trying to love Pumpy, some guy comes by on a bicycle. He's in the bicycle lane, bless his hairy heart, but he's going the wrong way in the bicycle lane. And there's a bicyclist coming from behind me. I could see out of the corner of my eye, trying to get, this bicyclist behind me is going the correct way. And so this guy, he looks so smug. That's what drove me crazy. He had this, his mouth was like straight across. He's like, And he had this ball cap and he looked so smug as he was sitting on this bicycle. And the bicycle seat was too low. His knees were up. He was pumping too. His knees were going up around his ears. And I'm thinking, raise your bicycle seat a foot and a half. What is the matter with you? And so I got so irritated at that guy. I practically hated that guy. And then I just realized I'm supposed to pray for him, supposed to bless him. And I realized that I guess part of my survival in this eon is letting the angst, letting the anxiety go. And the way you do that is to curse or say something terrible. But this isn't right. I'm not recommending what I did, my failures today. I'm not recommending them. How can I recommend these failures? But as Mark Twain says, when angry, count to 10. When very angry, curse. And it does seem to have a laxative effect. And so I realized that I failed. And then later, today, as I was driving, there was this lady in front of me, and they had closed one of the lanes on 4th Street. And we're coming up on Davie Boulevard, which is hard enough to get the green light through Davie. If you get a green light on Davie, it's like, oh my God. You realize, you know God hates you when you get, if you're on Davie and you get a red light on Davie. Because I call Davie the King's Highway, Davie Boulevard, oh my God. If you're on Davie Boulevard, like I say, you know God hates you if you get a red light on Davie. But if you're trying to cross Davie, God help you. God help you. For some crazy reason, we had the green light on 4th Street to cross Davie. This lady's slowing down. I felt like yelling at her. Don't you realize what's happening here? Don't you realize how rare it is that we have the green light on Davie? She's slowing down. I mean, part of me doesn't blame her. It's like, what? Green light? Crossing Davie? I know, it's weird, but you gotta go. She slows down and we end up and the light turns red, and I'm like, could not love that woman. I prayed for the woman in a terrible way. It wasn't even a prayer, it was a prayer of murder and mayhem. God help me. Then I thought of Romans 12 comes to our emotional rescue. Riding across the desert on a fine Arab charger. Here it is. Romans 12. I'm entreating you then, brethren, by the pities of God, to present your bodies a sacrifice, living holy, well-pleasing to God. Well, does it mean that we're always well-pleasing to God? No, it just means that as we present our bodies as a sacrifice to God. It's like, this is my body, do with it what you will. This is my disposition, do with it what you will. I didn't put Pumpy Pumperton on the road. I didn't put this guy, this individual going the wrong way in the bike lane. I didn't put him on the road. I didn't put this lady getting the green light to cross Davie and blowing it. I didn't put her on the road. This is your life, God. This is your arrangement. And I am your servant. And my body is yours. My disposition is yours. And see, what pleases God is when you just lay it at his throne. You lay your body at his throne and say, this is it. This is my sacrifice. You know, I know back in Israel, they had to pick the perfect, unblemished lamb. And no human could be unblemished. I guess there's some lambs that could do that. Some lambs could be unblemished, but they were unblemished on the outside, not on the inside. Nobody could test the interior of the lambs to see if they had all pure thoughts. There's no way the lamb could have a pure thoughts completely. I don't know. I don't think. It was all an outward thing. So that comforts me when I think of the Lamb. And I think, well, okay, then if I'm to present myself a sacrifice to God, this has nothing to do with my... Obviously, it has nothing to do with my exterior, but it doesn't have to do with the interior either. It has to do with the fact that we are God's and we say, here I am. Right? So let's go on. Your logical divine service. Present your bodies a sacrifice, living, holy, well-pleasing to God. God is pleased when we don't feel we have to make ourselves up for Him. Your logical divine service, and not to be configured to this eon, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, for you to be testing what is the will of God, good and well-pleasing and perfect. We did that yesterday. We're good. We tested the Word of God yesterday, and we found out what was good, perfect, well-pleasing, and it was to pray for all mankind. That's the perfect will of God. We looked into it. We tested it, and we prayed, and we said, God, you know, help us be this way, and then failure, 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 and so the temptation is then to go on a self-improvement program. That's where Satan's temptation kicks in. Those of you who failed yesterday, like me, that's where the temptation comes in to try to improve yourself, to try to be this well-pleasing person. But God already could not be more pleased with you because of the sacrifice of His Son, and we are justified. But still, we do want to do ideal things, and we encourage one another to do ideal things. I encourage you this morning. I encourage myself this morning. I freaking failed. Maybe tomorrow I'll do better. I need to keep it in my mind. It's a new way of thinking for me. First thing I want to do is just attack. I want to attack. I want to criticize. I want to judge. I'm a very quick judger. Very quick. But again, I do this all under my breath, and I don't yell at people. And whenever I meet someone, I'm the nicest guy you ever want to meet. I'm just very kind, very considerate. I would never say, maybe that's worse. I guess that makes me a hypocrite, doesn't it? I don't know. If it makes me a hypocrite, it makes me a hypocrite. But, all right, I'll just leave it at that. So let's go on here in Romans chapter 12. The good stuff's coming up right here. For I am saying through the grace which is given to me. Here we go. The grace is what covers us. The grace is what covers our failure. The grace covers my failure today. I am saying through the grace which is given to me to everyone who is among you not to be overweening beyond what your disposition must be, but to be of a sane disposition as God parts to each the measure of faith. For even as in one body we have many members, yet all the members have not the same function. Yeah, some are numbnuts, some are this, some are that, you know, some pray for other people, some try to but can't manage it, so we are many. Some of us are better than others as far as behavior. Many of you are better than me. Many of you are better than me. Some of you are like me, some of you are worse than me. It's just, but you know, that's the body of Christ for you. We're a hodgepodge, we're a strange mix. But God gives to each the measure of faith, and God gives to each, if I can extrapolate upon that, God gives to each the measure of disposition. That's what Paul says here. This is great. I'm saying to everyone who is among you, to everyone who is among you, where else would they be if they weren't among you? Anyway, not to be overweening beyond what your disposition must be. This is like an archaic word, wean. It's your disposition. It's the way you think. That's what it is. I had to look it up. Let me look it up here again for you. Wean. It's not W-E-A-N. That's what babies do. They wean off their mothers. But this is W-E-E-N. Again, it's an archaic word. Wean. Definition. To be of the opinion. To think or suppose. To think. So no one should overthink. No one should be overthinking beyond what your disposition. Actually, I kind of wish a concordant would have been consistent here. The word overweening in the Greek, the English element is disposed, to be disposed. I guess it corresponds with the way you think. So you are not to be overthinking or over-disposed to what your disposition, that is the way you think, the mood you're in, the attitude you have toward other human beings in this world, the attitude you have toward the government, toward the grocery clerk, toward the guy at the gas station, towards your husband, towards your wife, towards your kids. This is a shock. We are not to be overweening, that is overthinking, beyond what your disposition must be. So there is a disposition that you must have, that you're destined to have, but I don't want anybody to get fatalistic. Well, I guess my disposition is just to be ornery. I guess my disposition is to be a crank. That could very well be. But we're not to think that way. But in a way, we are, I guess. I don't know, beyond what your disposition must be. So whatever disposition you find yourself in today, that's what it must be. Let's put it this way. Whatever disposition you find yourself in today, that's what your disposition must be today. It might be different tomorrow. Don't be overthinking. Don't be over-disposing. Don't be over-trying. Beyond what your disposition must be. In other words, if you start straining to try to be better than you are, there's a point where you lose your peace. I'm not saying you never try to do anything. I'm not saying you never go out of your comfort zone. But if you lose your peace, that's always the test I make. If I lose my peace, am I losing my peace? Remember, let the peace of God be arbitrating in your hearts. The peace of God. That word arbitrating in the Greek is umpire. Let the peace of God be the umpire. Let the peace of God make judgments, balls and strikes coming over the plate in your heart. So if you're trying to be more than you are, then you're going to lose your peace. I always was this way with writing when I was learning how to write. You know, I wanted to write like Mark Twain and Ernest Hemingway. But if I tried too hard to write above my skill level at that time, then it would just lead to frustration. I had to do what I could. I had to write in accord with my skill at any particular time. And to strain to write something other than what I am destined to write, other than what God has designated for me to write, would be a mistake. It's the same thing we can say trying to have someone else's call. We can be envious of each other's callings. Oh, I wish I had her calling. I wish I had his calling. But everybody has their calling they're supposed to have. And Paul gets into that when he says, even as in the body we have many members, yet all the members have not the same function. There you go. Thus we, who are many, are one body in Christ, yet individually members of one another, and we don't have the same function. So if you're envious of someone else's function, you're trying to be like that person. And then Paul says this. He says, don't be overweening above what your disposition must be, but be of a sane disposition. What does that tell you? That if you try to obtain to someone else's call, to the way someone else is, you will go insane. You will lose your peace. You will lose your sanity. It goes back to the trite saying, you know, be yourself. Oh, what a sweet, quaint little thing. Your grandmother probably pointed it on a plaque back in the day. Be yourself. Be who you are. But that's what Paul's saying here. But he's going into more depth by saying, by not being who you are, but trying to be more than what you are right now, you're going to lose your sanity. So you're not supposed to be any better than you are right now. I want myself to be, I want you to be as good as you can be. There's another trite saying, be as good as you can be. But I mean it, be as good as you can be and stop there. Ah, that's where it's not trite anymore. Grandma never thought of that one. Oh, no, stop there. Don't overwing, don't overthink, don't overplay it, don't be overdisposed to be more than what God at this present time has you to be, beyond what your disposition must be. The King James doesn't say this at all. Let me read the King James for you, then I'm going to read a couple paraphrases that I'm going to check out for the day and try again tomorrow, okay? See what happens. If I have any successes, I'll let you know. Don't hold your breath. This is Romans 12:3 and the King James Version. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's a lot different than the Concordant Version. The King James says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Concordant version, don't be overweening, overthinking, above what your disposition must be. The King James doesn't go anywhere near that sovereignty of God statement, what your disposition must be. I think they where they put, where Concordant has must, the KJV puts ought, and where they have disposition, when the Concordant has disposition, the KJV has think. But anyway, the KJV botches it, if you ask me. KJV says not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Well, that's true too, but that's not what God is saying. It's not what Paul is saying. But in a way, that's a related truth, because if you're trying to be something more than you are, then you are thinking of yourself more than you actually are. You're thinking more highly of yourself. Like, why couldn't I be better? Why can't I do this? Haven't I said this before, that any kind of disappointment in yourself, like, oh, I could have done better, I should have done better, that's a backhanded form of creature worship. It is. That's shocking, isn't it? You're actually worshiping the creature rather than the creator. It's like, what, you thought you were better than that? Like, what made you think that? Be who you are today, and maybe tomorrow God will change you. There's some great paraphrases here. J.B. Phillips. I had hard copies of all these Bibles back in the day. I had like 37 translations. This is J.B. Phillips, New Testament paraphrase, Romans 12:3. As your spiritual teacher, I give this piece of advice to each of you. Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance, but try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given to you all. That's pretty damn good. Even if it's not literal, it's pretty good. I'm going to read it again. As your spiritual teacher, I give this piece of advice to each of you. Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance, but try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given to you all. That's beautiful, actually. Now I'm going to go to The Message, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. That is a completely horrible translation, but it's absolutely beautiful. Albeit a little whimsical on Eugene Peterson's part, but I like it. It's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. Yeah, because, see, God makes your disposition what it is, so He's not expecting anything more. And if we expect anything more of ourselves, then we're actually elevating ourselves over what God says we must be. And we want to bring this goodness to God. That's the old Christian way. No. Peterson says in The Message, God brings it to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. That's beautiful. So maybe if the temperature's a little cooler tomorrow, I'll be a little cooler myself. We will see. Our disposition does sometimes rise with the temperature, and not just the physical temperature, not just the air temperature, but the temperature of the world, the level of complexity and danger and angst and worry and confusion of this world. We're in the middle of it, and this is the worst eon that's ever been, and this is the worst part, the end of the worst eon that's ever been. So I think we would do well not to expect too much of ourselves, but at the same time, we thank God for what He has given us and we do what we can to live up to what God has graciously given us, each in accord with our faith.